But most of the time, the world's like, well, you know, who? Politicians. Ask anybody running for a political office. Yeah, who do you think is the best person fit for that job?
Well, of course, me. I mean, who else could do the job? I've done this, and I've done that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Me, me, me.
But that's the mentality of most people. Jesus had just taught, deny yourself. And now they're talking about whether or not they are going to be the greatest. Verse 47. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart. That's the funny thing about this whole thing is, I don't, you know, every one of us in this room need to understand this. Jesus knows your thoughts.
Yeah, he does.
You're not actually praying to inform him.
Amen.
And we do it, and I do it too. Well, Lord, I want to tell you. If he spoke audibly, he'd say, all right, tell me something, son. I mean, what are you going to tell me? We don't pray to inform him. We pray to demonstrate our love and faith. If we love somebody, we talk to them. You want to see a bad relationship? It's one they don't communicate. God wants you to communicate. He's communicated to us in His Word. Now talk to Him a little while. You say, well, I just feel silly telling Him all my problems. He already knows them. Yeah, but now you're telling Him you know He is the cure.
Amen.
Now you're telling Him by faith and love, you're telling Him He is the answer to your problems. You trust Him to work this out, even if it's not when you snap your fingers. Lord, if I had my way, I tell him, if I had my way, we'd be raptured right this second. I wouldn't have to worry about any problems.
Amen.
But it's all in your timing, Lord. And you know, it is very much just like if Ezra were here, or if you have a young'un in your family, niece, nephew, cousin, whatever, and they're toddlers, and they come up and they tell you something, and sometimes they really think they're telling you something. You know what I thought? I saw a bird the other day, and it had orange on its wings. You ever seen one like that? They're like, I've seen something you ain't seen, you know? Or they learn something, and they tell it. And yeah, we just laugh, and we smile. But aren't you glad they came up and told you that?
Yes.
Aren't you glad they felt like you were the one they wanted to share that with?
Amen.
That's how God the Father's looking at you. He loves when His children talk to Him and show their love and their faith. And the old saying Noah Hutchins used to say, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things.
Amen.
That's how he said it. That's my imitation.
Yeah, that's good.
You say, well, he didn't say God changes. We're not changing God. But prayer changes things.
That's right.
And we can get into all this deep stuff about, you know, God knowing this and doing that and everything. But the simple matter is, if Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. God already knew your need, but you're not asking Him. So what's God do? He'll let you figure it out on your own. I'd like to have His help.
Amen.
So I go to prayer. And when I don't, I'm just being dumb. And I do that. There's times where I don't go to the Lord in prayer. And, you know, we've talked about many cases. Johnny brought up Josiah. Goes out to fight the Pharaoh without seeking God's counsel. What did he do? God just watched and Josiah died.
Yeah.
Josiah's in heaven.
Amen.
You suffer the consequences of being dumb. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. You're still saved. Doug?
Sometimes we pray in a mess, too. We do the prayer, but
because your motive is wrong. Yeah, you can pray. That's like whenever you think you need this job. And God doesn't let you have that job because He knows if you get that job, you're going to be in a situation, whether it's more money or power or the circle that you'll be in or whatever, it's bad for you. And God loves you enough to say no. So Jesus provides a lesson in humility to these people who just heard him teach, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and then are asking, am I going to be the greatest? So he's going to provide a lesson in humility. Look at verse 48. And he said, and said unto them, or verse 47, he took a child and set the child by him. Now, verse 48, after having done that, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. What he's saying is a very real thing. You take somebody who's full of themselves. You know one person they're not going to have time for? Kids.
That's right.
A child. Yeah. You find somebody who's really full of themselves. They're like a politician. The only time they ever kiss babies is when the cameras are rolling. But in life in general, they don't have time for kids. And some pastors get full of themselves. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, I'll be honest with you, I kind of set a number on it. I was like, I am going to spend more time with my kids than these other pastors I know who didn't.
Right.
And we would spend time together reading the Bible and praying. That's important. But folks, you know, you should also just spend time with them. And so we would have movie nights. I've seen more cartoons than I think most adults ever have.
Me too.
And why? It wasn't my choice. It was their choice. And so we'd sit down and watch them. And they're not all great. And I know some people got down on like the VeggieTales, but they beat the satanic stuff that's on Saturday mornings. And so I'd watch VeggieTales. And then Hanna-Barbera put out this series on the Bible. And it had this thing where they got sucked into something in Egypt in the desert, and they, you know, went into the past. It's like time travel. And I would just have to always tell it, now that part of it's not true, kids. That never happened. But the stories that they saw were based on the Bible. And so we would sit and we'd watch them and have a good time. We'd discuss the Bible. And I wasn't like pressing on them. They would talk about it. And after they was off, we'd go play, and most of the time they wanted to just do their thing, and I'd be in the room with them, and I might help them this and that. Then they'd be playing, and they'd turn around and say, Dad, in that cartoon, so-and-so did this and did that. And I'd talk to them while they're playing, and we'd talk about the Bible and stuff. And on it goes. We went to Six Flags and the zoo and all these things more times than I can count. And, you know, we did all this stuff together. Why? Because I know if I ever got to where I didn't have time for children, there's something wrong with me.
That's right.
And this is one of the reasons I know that, because that's what Jesus is saying right here. Some of the best ministers, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, some of the greatest rewards are going to be for unknown heroes who reached out to the children.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And yeah, I think sometimes the bus thing went overboard and Sunday school has been, you know, kind of ruined by a lot of people. But there are a lot of those teachers and bus captains and people who really love those children.
Amen.
And then there's just a lot of people who couldn't do that, but they give. I can tell you stories of people who, you would, according to their stature in society, shouldn't have given me a time of day. And I remember being a little kid and them coming up in our church, the Literals. They owned grocery stores down in southern Ohio. And Lacey, and I always called them Mr. and Mrs. Literal. So a lot of these old people, I don't even know some of their first names. But the Literals, and Nancy Ray was their daughter. She had been injured in a tornado in the 60s and was paraplegic. And was in a wheelchair. And she'd see me, and she'd say, Greg! And I knew her voice. And I'd go, yeah? And she just wanted to talk to me. And I was telling her, you know, I didn't like my cheeks being squeezed like this. It just drove me crazy. So many people would do that when I was a kid. But then there were these certain people who I knew it meant something that they were showing me attention. It meant something. Grandma, and this really attractive set of twins. And they would come out to me, and I'd let them pinch my... But I felt wanted.
The love.
The love. But then there's some people I remember who wouldn't give me the time of day. And if you take some kids, that's all they ever get from adults. How sad. And what he's saying here is, this is just for you, not to...
Well, I know that guy over there.
No, this is for us to look inside. Are we too arrogant for children? We too proud? Our time is too important for children? There's something wrong. And then this, but obviously he's not just talking about that. He's saying that that's one example. This is a prime example. You ought to look at your whole life that way. The things that God says are important. God's word is important, and you can't turn off that stupid boob tube long enough to get in God's word. You're telling God you don't matter to me. God wants to hear you pray, and you go days without even praying. Some people don't even pray over their food. And you don't have to make a show of it. Driving down the, you know, with your eyes open and, you know, working. I used to pray. I prayed probably in 1 year, my first year as a Christian, prayed more because I prayed the whole time I was washing dishes at the steakhouse. That whoosh, 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 all that noise. And I was just praying. And sometimes you look at your past, your early years in Christianity, it can remind you what it can still be like that, folks. Your first love, Revelation talks about. But isn't this counterintuitive? Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. What's this? It just doesn't make sense. In the world, it's totally different. To be counterintuitive, just so you understand what I mean, it's contrary to what one would intuitively expect. You would expect that if you're important, you're going to be the greatest. Well, then you have to take care of this important stuff. And Jesus says, no, it's the little stuff. Those little people. The little people. But in our Darwinianized culture, teaches it's a dog-eat-dog world. Yeah. And it's really strange because you, even in the secular world, a lot of the movies they make, it's about a father or a mother or both who are too busy climbing the corporate ladder or doing whatever to be successful, and they neglect their children or each other. And the point of the movie is for them to realize that. Hallmark has made probably 500 movies like that. And what's the point? The point is by the end of the movie, they realize that and they start giving the attention that their spouse and their children, parents, whoever, deserve. It's even in secular society, this is recognized. What Jesus is teaching right here. But it's still vastly ignored. Not many books are sold advising readers to serve your way to the top. Every once in a while there will be a book out that will actually teach this concept. But most of the books telling you to be a success, they will not tell you the first thing you do is be a servant. That's not what you're going to see. And if you do, you're reading a book that's either written by a Christian or written by somebody who's under heavy Christian influence. Because the Darwinian culture is dog-eat-dog. And by the way, that's why most of the babies killed in abortion are from people with that mentality. A liberal, earth-centered, godless mentality. Matthew 20:28, Jesus said this. We've quoted a couple times. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come so that everybody would wait on him hand and foot. He didn't come so that everybody would be constantly showing him attention. Isn't that something? He came to serve others with the idea that you would see his example and follow that example. That's an amazing thing. Let's read that again in verse 48. Read it out loud. And said unto... Go ahead, keep reading.
Receive this child in my name,
whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great.
Jesus used the child as a type or standard. See, it goes into other areas of your life, but that's the type or the standard. So serving the needy, for example. There are helpless children. How many of you know children that need help? It doesn't mean they're incapable of doing anything. It just means they need an adult. And we have a great example sitting right back there with Dre and Freedom. And I've said many times, can you give me a Bible? I've said many times, the one regret I have in my life is not your Bible. Well, I guess I can use it if you're not. No, I thought you were using that. Think about this. I look back on my life. It's not that we should live with regrets and all that, but I do look back, and if I had married better the first time back in 1990, I had this as a goal, that eventually I was going to own a big house with a bunch of bedrooms, and I was going to take in kids. And that's why first thing I got into was youth ministry. And I'd go out, sometimes I'd be called out midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning to go deal with some kid like that. And I always thought, one of these days I'm going to be able to take kids like this in. And it just didn't work out that way. But I love when I see people who do it. That's where I'm pointing at. And I've known a few others through the years, and I think, you know, how wonderful. It's just a shame there's not. And it's not to point the finger. Like I said, just didn't work out. I couldn't do it. And now with health and everything, you know, you do have to be a fireball. You better be a fireball. Amen, boys.
Amen.
Oh, amen for you.
Mama T.
Destitute and poor. We're talking about people who can't work, not that won't work. The Bible says if you won't work, then you should go hungry. But if you're destitute and poor, that's why we support charity mission. And we've done things for people, but we've also refused people because we know good and well they're just lying crooks who are just trying to take advantage of the church. But those who are really in need, elderly and infirm. And we have a couple of people in our church that this year we've been robbed of a lot of opportunities because of the COVID thing. But through the years, anybody who's a part of this body who can't get out, we've tried to go to them. And we try to do things for them and with them when they need it. There's also, I break it down like this, impaired, handicapped, and disabled, because there's a slight difference between those. This is from Emory University School of Medicine. I just used their example. Sheena Carter is a PhD who wrote on these differences for people to understand. Impairment is any loss or abnormality of psychological, physiological, or anatomical structure or function. In other words, the mind doesn't function the way it ought to, or the body functions, or you just maybe lost a limb or whatever, and you're impaired. There's also those with a disability that can result from impairment, but any restriction or lack resulting from an impairment of ability to perform an activity. So you may lose an arm, but still be able to function. So you're impaired, but you're not disabled necessarily. But then there are some people who have an impairment that also makes them disabled. They're not able to do things. And then there's the handicap, which is basically all of the above, a disadvantage for a given individual that limits or prevents the fulfillment of a role that is normal. In other words, they not only can't do this or that, but it totally is. It made them incapable of functioning the way they need to. So that's the worst of the three. It's like a culmination. So, do you want to be great in the eyes of God? You ask people that question, I think most Christians are going to say, yes, I want God to look and say, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, is that your goal?
Yeah.
Then you sacrifice your time, energy, finances, etc. for any and all of the above. you be willing to sacrifice your time, to exert your energy, to spend a little of your finances. As God has prospered you, share that, and so forth. And according to our text, those will be the greatest. And there are going to be some people that we are going to be completely shocked when we see the judgment seat of Christ. There are going to be some people that we thought were going to get all the awards, the rewards. And we're going to see, for whatever different reasons, it's all going to burn. They didn't have the right attitude. It was for their own glory, tooting their own horn, whatever. Personal, they benefited from it, and that was their goal, was to benefit from it personally and all that. Then there's the other side, who people just quietly did God's work. And a lot of people weren't even aware of it. Most people, if not all people, weren't aware of it. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to see that. Think Jesus. When you think about being the greatest in God's eyes, if you want God to look at you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you just think Jesus. What did Jesus do? Now, I know there was this movement, "What would Jesus do?" And it got kind of out of control. It was kind of silly. But it is a great question when you're living your life. And it's not even what would Jesus do, because He had powers we don't actually have at our... What did Jesus do? What did Jesus tell us to do? Those are the questions you ask. I'd love to walk up to anybody I see sick and heal them, but I can't do that. So what did Jesus tell me to do? Serve, minister to them. Pray for them. If there's something you can do, do it. That's it. Just think about Jesus. Look over at Titus. We'll close up with a reading here. Titus. Chapter 2, verse 11 is where we'll start. Titus 2, 11 through 15. I'll read the first verse there. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Now read 12 through 15. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Amen. In 30 years plus of teaching the Bible, I can't say that I've seen many Christians follow this lesson. It's sad, but it's true. Not many will follow this lesson. But it's presented to you today, and I just pray that you will put this into action in your life. Amen. What Jesus taught us in our text today. You've heard this before. Love is a verb. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Talk is cheap. Amen?
Amen?
Love is a verb. If you love Jesus, then you do what He says. Amen?
Amen.
Don't talk about loving Jesus if you won't demonstrate it. Demonstrate love for Jesus as you tell people you love Jesus. If you love others, you minister to them. That's what Jesus did.
Amen.
Nothing worse than seeing somebody with a bumper sticker that says, "I love Jesus," on the back of their car, and then they're driving like a bat out of hell and flipping people the bird and cussing as they're going down the road. Nothing worse.
With their long skirt on.
Yeah.
And hair down.
But if you're a Christian, even if you don't have that bumper sticker, you should still be ashamed of yourself if you drive like that. You should still be ashamed of yourself if in the grocery store you think you're running NASCAR and you're cutting people off and being rude and just a regular old jackass. Christians shouldn't be like that. The fact the world's like that doesn't matter. We're supposed to be following Jesus and what He says. And that happens also inside your home. I've known Christians that treat everybody else better than they do their own family. When you get inside those four walls, you should treat that person, those people in your walls of your home as good as anybody you treat, as well as you treat anybody in the world. Don't be a backward about it. Don't be a hypocrite. And when you think you're impressing other people out there by being nice to everybody, remember, there's one inside your home who sees it all. So if you're treating everybody in your home like garbage, the important person sees that. Now, the Psalms talks about the fool who says, God doth not see. Oh, yes, He does. So stand if you would, let's sing about it. Love lifted me.